This morning we're going to be looking at John 8. John 8. So before we get there, I'd like to read some other portions of John as well. So I'd like to read, first of all, from John chapter 1. So turn with me to the Gospel of John and keep your Bibles handy. We'll be referring back to God's Word through the course of this morning's message. And there's other places of Scripture that I would like us to look at. So please keep your Bibles accessible, so we can understand what Jesus is saying as he reveals himself as the light of life. So we're going to begin with John 1. With John 1. And in John 1, we hear the prologue to his gospel. We're just going to look at the first 13 verses. And here we see the wonder of who Jesus is and what God has designed for him in coming to this earth. It sounds like Genesis again, in the beginning. And in Genesis, we read, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, here is the new beginning. In the beginning, John 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So John's desire is to introduce us to this light of life. And turn with me now to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 16. Probably the most familiar, or one of the most familiar portions of Scripture. John 3, verse 16. We'll read verses 16 through 21. This is, of course, Jesus' interview with Nicodemus. And he's revealing to Nicodemus that he must be born again, that is, born through the work of the Holy Spirit, born from above. And then Jesus speaks this way. He says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God." Now turn with me, last of all, to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, and we'll read verses 12 through 30. John 8, verses 12 through 30. Our text is verse 12. "Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.' So the Pharisees said to him, 'You are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true.' Jesus answered, 'Even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true, for I know where I come from. Excuse me, I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law it is written that the testimony of two people is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me. They said to him, therefore, where is your Father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. So he said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. So the Jews said, will he kill himself, since he says, where I am going, you cannot come? He said to them, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. So they said to him, who are you? Jesus said to them, just what I have been telling you from the beginning. I have much to say about you and much to judge, but he who sent me is true, and I declare to the world that I have what I have heard from him. They did not understand that he had been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. As he was saying these things, many believed in him. It's an amazing contrast to what we've looked at with regard to Jesus being the bread of life, that when he spoke that way, many refused to believe in him. But now, as he reveals himself as the light of life, many people begin to believe in him. This morning we carry on with Jesus' introduction of himself to us. He's the bread of life. I am the light of life now. When we looked last week at Jesus being the bread of life, we considered the source. Jesus makes a great deal out of the fact that he's come down from the Father. And again, this is behind his revelation of being the light of life. It's important for us to understand where Jesus comes from. But we also recognized last week that to know Jesus as the bread of life, we need to feed upon him. We need to savor that food which is for life. We need to savor that by faith. And Jesus not only is the bread of life, he's the living bread. He's the bread who's on our plate, who's coming to give himself on our behalf. And we know that the atonement was central in Jesus' vision there. Well, this morning we look at Jesus as the light of the world. And notice what he says. He says, I am the light of the world. Light and darkness are themes that John uses throughout his gospel. We've read some of those in John chapter 1 and John chapter 3 as well, that there's this struggle, this interplay between light and darkness that John highlights frequently throughout the gospel. And now in this public instance, while Jesus is in the treasury of the temple of all places, he comes and makes known very publicly that he is the light of the world. He gives this revelation. And for us to understand what Jesus means in revealing himself as the light of the world, I'd like to look at, first of all, the fulfillment, how the Father has testified to who Jesus is as the light of the world. And so we'll look at the fulfillment. We'll see from Old Testament portions of Scripture what it means that this light has come. We're also going to see the contrast between light and darkness that Jesus is revealing. And thirdly, the calling. So those are the three things that I'd like us to look at from God's Word. The fulfillment, the contrast, and the calling. Now immediately, this prompts the Pharisees to question. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And the Jews question, where do you come from? You're bearing testimony about yourself. As we consider this, we see again how this was a theme that was found in the Old Testament as well. So I'd like to highlight some of those places in the Old Testament, our call to worship, or as we reflected on the Lord's summons to us, God says in Psalm 27, the Lord is my light. So Jesus is claiming something about his character as being from God, that he is the Lord. He is the Old Testament covenant God, that he and the Father are distinct persons, and yet they have this similar essence. The Lord, Jehovah, is my light and my salvation near. Now he says, I am the light of the world. It's a claim to divinity. There's more, so turn with me to Psalm 36. Psalm 36, verses 7 through 9. Psalm 36 is another Psalm of David, and it relates the character of transgression and sin and darkness that abounds in mankind's hearts. Transgression speaks to the wicked. Deep in his heart, there's no fear of God before his eyes. He flatters himself in his own eyes that his iniquities cannot be found out and hated. He hides, he's in secret. It relates closely to what Jesus is saying in John 3, that people love darkness because then their evil deeds aren't exposed. But notice the fulfillment and what Jesus is revealing. There's this contrast in Psalm 36 that's different with the godly people and those who follow the light. Verse 7, we're going to begin with 36, verse 7. How precious is your steadfast love, O God! The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. Again, tying in with what Jesus has revealed himself as the bread of life, they feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. And then verse 9, for with you is the fountain of life, and in your light we see light. Isn't that an amazing reality? Here is Jesus coming and he says, the Father has borne testimony about me. And it's when you know me as the light of the Father, as the light of the world, then you begin to see the wonder of salvation that is being revealed here. It's the fountain of life, and it ties right in with what Jesus has said previously as the bread of life. But now it comes and in your light we see light. Now our eyes begin to see that this light of the gospel, this light of the grace of God, this light of the covenant is being shown in Jesus Christ. Here is the light of the world that will help us to see how God is working in the world. This is a light that brings truth. This is a light that is reliable, and when it shines, it helps us to realize how we are to live before God, how we are to live as his image bearers. In your light do we see light. Wonderful testimony about the work of Jesus Christ. Now turn with me as well to Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42, the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah 42 is a prophecy of the suffering servant and who Jesus is as the servant of the Lord. There's a series of these suffering servant prophecies. It's what the Ethiopian eunuch was wondering about and questioning when he read Isaiah 53 and Philip interacted with Philip the evangelist. And is Isaiah talking about himself or is he talking about another? These revelations of the suffering servant. Is this Israel or is this someone else? And ultimately it's Jesus. Well, Isaiah 42, behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. Jesus says, this is me. But then listen to this revelation in verses 6 through 9. Verses 6 through 9. This is the Lord God Almighty from heaven, who created the heavens and the earth and stretched them out, who's saying this to his servant. He's saying this to Jesus. He says, I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people. a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare before they spring forth. I tell you of them. Amazing prophecy of Jesus coming, of the suffering servant, the head of the covenant, who would come on behalf of his people. And yet, all the while, the Lord singles out his unity and his singularity in the Lord who is worthy of worship. And so when Jesus makes these claims, he's revealing that he is God and he is man in the flesh. While we're in Isaiah, you can listen or turn with me, Isaiah 49, verse 6. Isaiah 49, verse 6. And here again, the wonder of the covenant. And this is God speaking to his servant again, the Lord speaking to his servant. And it comes after he's promised that he's going to restore Israel. And now the Lord says, this is verse 5. The Lord says, he who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, that Israel may be gathered to him. So there's going to be restoration by God's gracious intervention. For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has become my strength. He says, this is what God says to his servant. It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I mean, this is a phenomenal restoration. God is going to restore Israel. He's going to restore Jacob. He's going to restore those who were overwhelmed by their guilt and their sin, who were exiled into Babylon. God's going to restore them. But God says, now, wait a minute, that's too light a thing. God's going to do more. I will make you a light, as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. The wonder of what God is going to accomplish. He has always had this worldwide vision of bringing salvation to the end of the earth. And now Jesus says, I am the light of the world. I am the one who is the fulfillment of all these prophecies, of all these promises. Through me, salvation is going to reach to the uttermost ends of the earth. And in John's letter, we have these wonderful promises. John 1, in him was life, and the life was the light of man. And darkness has not overcome him. Or again, John 3, man sits in darkness. The natural character, the natural reality of man is that he lives in darkness. But the salvation of Jesus Christ is that he comes in. And while those who are in darkness flee, there are some who come to the light. So that when they come to the light, their deeds may be seen to be done in God. And Jesus is here saying, as he takes this word up and he says it in the temple, he says, I am the light of the world. I am the fulfillment of this word. I am the one who's come to accomplish all that the Father promised. I am the fulfillment. And this is what caused the Pharisees to question his testimony and say, you're bearing testimony about yourself. You see what they're saying? They're saying, Jesus, you're unbelievable. You're only saying this about yourself, and it's so easy to say, but Jesus says, you don't understand that I've come from the Father for this very purpose, to be the light of the world. You see what Jesus is saying in verse 15? You judge according to the flesh. Your eyes are closed. You're seeing the light, but you're closing your eyes, and you're living in darkness because you don't understand the wonder of God's intervention. That Jesus is saying, it's not just my testimony, this is the very testimony of the Father of what I have come to do. I am that servant who is prophesied. Jesus says, I am the fulfillment of God's word. Believe me. Hear me. Hold on to me. And this is rather difficult, isn't it? does this really stack up? Does this measure up for our level of proof that we would expect from Jesus? It certainly didn't for the Pharisees. Consider this when you think about what Jesus is saying. Why should you believe in Jesus? What proof would you find acceptable? Would you, and this is what we're called to do, you must accept his claims because they're revealed in his word. His claims are so strong that he must be believed. That's what he's saying to the Pharisees. He's saying the reason you don't believe me is you don't know me. This can make us rather uncomfortable. But don't you see that's the nature of his authority? That's the gift he's received from the Father, that he can call all men to himself by his own authority? I think C.S. Lewis has captured it well. You need to take Jesus at his word. And that means you need to bow the knee before him as your Lord, because that's going to be the constant test. Has God really said? And that's the test that the devil used from the beginning, and it's a test that we need to wrestle with, and we have to counter that with a certainty that this is what Jesus said. He said, I am the light of the world. And C.S. Lewis says, anyone who makes these bold claims must either be the Lord, and you must bow before him, or he's a liar, and you can find these contradictions throughout. And there is no contradiction here. Or he's a lunatic, and he shouldn't be believed. He's the Lord, he's a liar, or he's a lunatic. How will you judge what Jesus says as he reveals himself as the fulfillment of the word, of what the Father has said about him as a light of the world? And this sets up the contrast then between light and darkness. He not only shows his divine character, but he also identifies man's character. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. There's a difference. When you know Jesus, you know something about how far you have fallen from God's favor. Darkness. Without following Jesus, that is who you are, that is where you are, and that is where you stay. Without Jesus, this is your condition. There is no halfway house in God's kingdom. There is no place where you can live partially in the light. There's no dawn, there's no time between darkness and light. Here is the summons of Jesus to yield, to follow him, to surrender to him. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. What is this darkness that Jesus is referring to? It fills out in a number of different ways. It's the way of death. We hear it in verse 24. I told you, you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Without him, without believing in him, you will die in your sins. The way of darkness is the way of death. You don't have life in yourself. Oh, you have a pulse. You have brain function. But your soul is dead. You're dead in your trespasses and sins. Without Jesus, there is no life. Darkness is death. And you're dead. That means you're living on borrowed time. If your brain is functioning and your heart is beating, you're living on borrowed time. You have an appointment with death. And that will only lead in your life to more death. And that's the character of this darkness. Another character of this darkness is it's a place of deceit. You believe and follow lies. Lies that have been thrown out as lures from the devil since that first fateful day in paradise with Adam and Eve. God is not true. God is not trustworthy. Has God really said? And how often don't we think that freedom begins with dismissing or with doubting God's word? And you're in darkness. You are of your father. Jesus says it in verse 44. We didn't read that, but it says it in verse 44. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. His ways is the ways of deceit. It's the ways of lies. And that's the darkness we live in. It's incompatible with the light of truth, with the light of Jesus Christ. So there's death, there's deceit, there's also the dominion of sin. That sin has a yoke upon us, and we can do nothing but sin. We live under its spell and the spell of the devil's devices. Again, verse 34, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. We need to be set free from that. That's the character of this darkness. It's not something we see with our eyes. It's something we have in our souls. And it's incompatible. And Jesus says, I've come as the light of the world to shine my light into that darkness, to be the light. And when we know this character of darkness, we can come into the light and rejoice in Jesus because he knows the character of our hearts. He knows who we are by nature, and he's come to offer himself on our behalf, in our place, to be our light. And his light is life. To those who have an appointment with death, to be our life. And his light is truth. Where we believe and follow lies to be the truth. Jesus says you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. You'll know who Jesus is. And that light, rather than dominion, brings freedom. Again, there's freedom. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, your followers. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You are truly my disciples if you abide in my word, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What a contrast. But lastly, we need to consider the calling. As we put this all together, we need to recognize the calling that issues from this teaching, from this revelation of who Jesus is as the light of the world. There's a grandeur to the ministry of Jesus, and it's the call to the nations. I am the light of the world. It's a call to all mankind to believe in him, to find in him, and to know in him the source of salvation and the source of life. Hear this, people of God. The Son is the light of life. It is your calling right now, right here, this morning, your summons from him. You who may be walking in darkness, or where you've come to believe in Jesus Christ, that you have the light of life to shine in you, to give you a path to follow, to recognize that without him, all is darkness. But in him is light and life and truth and freedom. And this call needs to be the compass on your journey through life. The point of having, we're like Israel walking through the wilderness, and they have the pillar of fire by night and the pillar of cloud by day. It's surrounding them, protecting them from the Egyptians, but it's leading them through on their journey as well. And this is the sort of compass. We need this light to set direction. That's what you use a compass for, to give you direction when you're disoriented by your surroundings and by the landscape, and it seems ominous, and darkness is setting in, it shows you the way. It's the way out of being lost. It's a compass. It's the way of light. It's the way of following Jesus. There's life, and there's grace, and there's faith, and there's obedience. I was just reading this morning, turn with me to Psalm 112. Psalm 112. What happens when you follow the light? Listen to what God says in Psalm 112, verse 4. Here's the wonder of our God. Light dawns in the darkness for the upright. Light dawns in the darkness. But notice what happens to the upright. He begins to show that light. He is gracious, merciful, and righteous. When Jesus says to us, you are the light of the world, it's not something we have to do. It's something we are if we know Jesus. We are the light of the world. We're that reflection of who Jesus is. We are to be gracious. We are to be merciful. We are to be righteous. This is our calling, to live in the light and to let it be made known that the work we do is actually the work of God in us. But with this also call also comes a warning. A warning. And it shows very clearly here. Do you see it? It's a warning to us who know the gospel, who can be so close to the revelation of light, but so blind to the truth. Jesus here is the light that shines in the darkness. But some prefer darkness. This text teaches that there is an urgency to knowing Jesus. An urgency to committing to Him. Now, without Him, you live and your life is darkness. There is a difference between a religious commitment and following Jesus. The Pharisees alert us to that. They dismiss themselves from Jesus' call. They say it's not worthy to be followed. It's not worth following. And Jesus says, you'll die in your darkness. When we know Jesus and know the truth, we have to make known that He is the light of the world. By what authority can we say these things? Because God's word teaches us that there is only darkness outside of Jesus Christ. To live apart from Christ is death. This call needs to be the compass for our lives. In His light, do we see light? But we also make that light known. And so people of God continue to live for Jesus, like Jesus, and with Jesus, to be the light of the world. May God bless us and sustain us in this.